Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Hello, everybody. I asked you guys a while back on Instagram for some content, and some of y'all got real Pacific up in here. And so I'm going to tackle as much as I can when it comes to, the requests that you guys sent. Some were crazy, some were funny, some were pretty thought provoking. One specific person commented on how to pray correctly. And this one kind of jumped out at me. First of all, she was very specific with the details of the situation that she's in. She was married to a man and he up and left and decided he doesn't want to get married anymore. Found himself a girlfriend, got her knocked up, filed for divorce and kind of like wrote off. They had kids and wrote the visitation privileges away. Like, I guess you can sign off your visiting privileges, apparently. And this person also said it's so that he doesn't have to pay child support. I don't think that that's like a thing. So I would really look into that. If this is you and you are listening, I don't think you could just sign away your visitation and be like, hey, I disown these children. They're no longer mine and I'm not going to pay for that. So if he said that to you, I would really look into the legality and the laws that are out there to protect you, because you can't just up and leave your children without being responsible. You can't just cut ties and think like, I'm just going to proceed with the life that I want to live. That's not a thing, especially if it's, his blood running through their veins. So hone in on that. And then for the general topic here is how to pray for your enemies, how to pray, because we've got one kind of mentality that when we pray for our enemies, we're invoking the wrath of God to fall upon them. You know what I mean? And then there's the other camp that says we should pray for our enemies. We should love our enemies. We should go the extra mile for our enemies. So where can we find the sweet spot here? Now, for this, in my spirit, this message that I received, she is wondering, now she's detached herself from the situation, but apparently this couple is now causing friction in her life. They are causing problemas to happen in her life. And so one of the things that I really want each of my listeners to think through, if there are enemies in your life, and enemies is such a because we think of enemies, we think of somebody that wants to kill you, an enemy could be just somebody who's dead set against, you increasing, who's dead set against your promotion, who's kind of hindering your progression. That could be an enemy. And that could really take the form of a lot of individuals. And so we want to hone in on exactly define what the enemy really is in your life. Because some of you guys are praying against the enemy, and it's just, I hate to say it, but it's almost like a figment of your imagination. It's just somebody that like you think is set, and then in reality, they just might not flow the same way you flow. Not every one of us are gonna get along. I want you to know that today. There's different personalities that don't clash with mine. I can name a few right now off the top of my head. Like just this individual and me, this is not going to be a friendship. This is not going to develop into a friendship because I don't, her personality doesn't mesh with mine. Am I upset about that? that individuals don't connect with me. And no, I'm not. I sleep like a baby at night because it doesn't bother me because I'm aware. We all have different personalities. We all have different upbringings. The way that I say something might offend the heck out of somebody, but it might also make somebody laugh. So I gravitate towards the people that, you know, have the chemical makeup. And I'm not saying like actual chemical makeup. I'm saying like personality wise. And so I focus on the good and I don't focus on the bad. And so what is the enemy? I want you to write that down. I want you to write down in your head, in the tablets of your heart, who is your enemy? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm gonna be careful here. Let's be honest. No, I'm not. Because a lot of what we, especially believers, think is an enemy is just not. It's just not. It's just somebody that doesn't connect with you. It's somebody that doesn't get along with you. It's somebody that just, you rub them the wrong way. You know? But let's say that there was somebody that was trying to make your life a living hell, who just, it really is going out, almost demonically going out of the way to make your life miserable. And I mean this, dang it, I'm gonna step on some toes. I mean this with all the love and sincerity in my heart, okay? If you have individuals who are actually like demonically inspired to make your life a living hell, my question to you is, who cares? Like, really, like, who cares? See, because the fact of the matter is that we are honing in on the negative. We're honing in on somebody else's will, somebody else's actions, right? Against, maybe even like, you know, really against you. But the fact of the matter is that you have no control over what these individuals do. You don't. That's something that they're going to have to deal with. So an enemy should never bring you fear. An enemy should never bring you intimidation. An enemy should never rob you of your peace. Why is that? Why? But they do. Why shouldn't they do it? Because you have dominion over your mind. Nobody else has control over your thought process and your mind. And when you wake up, you gotta take control. Take it back, because they robbed that from you. The peace, the joy, you just gave them the peace and the joy in your life. And quite frankly, you know, people that do have like enemies, they give them way too much access to their life. I have had people, and I'll say, that are very disagreeable with where I'm at, with how I love my life, with what my husband and I are doing. I sleep like a baby. And I can't make them like me. I can't, you know, go back in time and fix things. And I can't do that. But what I can do is I can walk out my calling. I can you know, work unto the Lord. I can make sure that my heart is right. And when we look at scripture and the Bible tells us to invoke the blessing upon and pray for happiness of those that curse you and implore God's blessing or favor upon those who abuse you, who revel, reproach, or revile, reproach, disparage, and high-handedly misuse you. I mean, this is the Amplified. I would have never put it in such beautiful verbiage, but high-handedly misuse you. Tell me why that would be appropriate. If these things are happening, why would God instruct us to invoke the blessing on those who wish to despise us and curse us? And how are we supposed to pray for God's blessing and favor upon those who've like genuinely abused us? Some of us have experienced like physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse. How in the world are we supposed to be at a place, Lord, where we can like actually do that? Are you kidding me? I don't know how I could ever forgive that person. And there it is. Boom. Because he's instructing us to do this because it's for your own daggone benefit. Because the moment you don't have somebody's best interest in mind, the moment you don't invoke that blessing upon them and pray for their happiness, the moment you can't do that, you should come to the realize these people have way too much power and control over my life. Hail to the no, no, no. I wish I had a sound bite here. I'm gonna get one. And that is gonna be used quite often. The hail to the no, because we ain't doing that today, enemy. It's a mentality. That's why. Everything is based on what you know. This whole Christianity game, if you want to call it that, that we're playing, because there are going to be winners and losers. This whole Christian thing, the word of God, you walking it out, it has everything to do with the mindset. It has everything to do with your mentality. So if you have an enemy that's robbing you of your peace, you ain't doing it right. If you've got an individual that's actually causing you to fear and tremble and stay awake at night, no. You've put your trust in the wrong thing. It's until you have the power. Do you know how much power, dominion, authority, you're a beast in a good way, you know? You're a boss. When you can get to the point where there is no individual on this earth, even if you are dead set against me, even if you're quite literally trying to make my life a living hell, do you know that that's what it takes to combat that evil? Let me show you something. Okay, here we go. I need my coffee. Where is it? Dang, it's all the way over there. Okay, Proverbs 25, verses 21. If your enemies are hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them water to drink. Do you know why we do that? Verse 22, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their head, and the Lord will reward you. You will heap burning coals of shame on their head. This is the New Living Translation. That's a New Living Translation. The Amplified says, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. So listen, I like the New Living Translation, NLT. You know, it's shame. You bring shame onto them. So it does something. Okay, listen, I'm gonna put this in the best way that I can. Me and my sister growing up, my twin, you know, I had, I'm just going to be vulnerable here. I had issues growing up. Definitely anger issues. I got myself in a few fights, you know, and it didn't matter. I was unbiased, men and women alike, you know, fights, to the point where there's like mediation, could have gotten kicked out of school, this, that, that, that. So, you know, there'd be certain things, certain buttons that if you hit that button, you are going to invoke the wrath of a Dallas Ortiz. You just were. And so Mags was really good at that. She was really good at that. So if there was something that she didn't get, yada, yada, ba da ba ba, she would hit that button. And she done take me off lots of times to the point where I broke her pinky. You know, it was crooked. I just went berserk. Berserk. Okay? Unhealthy berserk. And so I remembered thinking to myself after I broke that pinky finger of hers, I thought to myself, listen, you can't let yourself do this. And obviously there was a progression. I got in a fight in high school and I blacked out, like totally blacked out. And this Brazilian chick was coming after me. It was a pep rally. I was a sophomore. I was a freshman and she was a sophomore. She was a junior. She was the next year. She would have been a senior. So she was, you know, two grades ahead of me. And she hit the wrong nerve that day. You know, I was just minding my own business. I brushed up against her and oops, sorry. And I said, oh, sorry. And she's like, and she, you know, started saying things in Portuguese. And I recognized what those words were because Portuguese and Spanish are very similar. So I thought, here we go. And I remember inhaling, looking back and blanking out. Like I blacked out. That's how angry I was. Because I was like, I'm not, if I tolerate this, it's going to be a problem. So I went after her. I'm not condoning that. What I'm honing in on is the blackout, okay? Because the next thing I remember, I had my two fingers down her eye sockets. And I had Mr. Kenny Marshall, that was the VP of the school. And he was like, you know, 6'4". He had to have a running start to break us apart. Like, you know, the teachers were trying to rip us apart and wasn't working. So Mr. Kenny Marshall like took a you know, sprint and like slammed into us and it was finally broken. But the reason I'm saying this is because I started realizing like I need to control this behavior. How can I control it? Because I'm angry. And then I remembered my older sister telling me, if somebody does something to annoy you or anger you, just laugh at them. Because when you laugh at them, you actually make them angry. And so I was like, yo, I'm gonna try that. So Mags started, you know, pushing the buttons like she would do very frequently. And I'd just start laughing. And it would invoke like the worst anger in her. Because it was a gut shot without there being an actual gut shot. Like it was like a, oh, I don't care what you think. And I remember she was so angry that she went for, and like, she, you know, pulled back and like slapped me in the chest or I forget where it was. And she was so angry. And I just kept laughing. And then because she slapped me, it made me laugh even harder. And then I remember her being so frustrated that she was like upset and like ran off like crying. Because she was so mad. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is effective. So I'm not saying that this is, I'm going somewhere with this story. I'm telling you that really coincides. This is why Proverbs 25:22. When you do that, when you act like you don't have that kind of control, boo-boo, it frustrates the enemy. When in times of defeat, oh my gosh, this happens and you won't even believe this person made my life. In times where you can, through that moment, through those difficult, you know, attacks and stuff, where you can put on some music and start dancing and praising God. And saying, Father, thank you that you've given me promotion. Thank you, Father, that nothing can get in my way. Doesn't matter what enemy comes my way. My path is set. My path is direct. My blessing is guaranteed. Praise God. And then you start dancing and you start singing and it's just like you're unfazed by it. It does something to the enemy's psyche, bro. So when all of a sudden you got these posts, because people can be mad petty. When you got these posts on Facebook and she done called me out, and all of a sudden you just post a picture of your kids in you know, playing in the leaves, completely unfazed by it, it's the greatest attack. It's the greatest retaliation that you can do for your enemy, because you're saying, you have no control over my life. You don't sign my check. And even if you did, it doesn't matter. You're not gonna deter me from living a life of blessing that's guaranteed to me because I'm a child of God. You can't do that. You don't have the power to. So when God tells you, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to ask for their blessing. I want you to begin to, you know, invoke that for my blessing to be upon them and their family's life. Do you know why he's saying that? He's saying that so that you can get out of your head the fact that they have any kind of control over you. So I know a lot of you thought, because you know how I pray. You know how I pray. I like to pray me some good, robust prayers against the enemy. But there's a difference between people that are like in this like shallow, and that's what it is. I know it might seem for you, it seems like a big ordeal because you're like right in the thick of it, but it's really not in the scheme of things. It's not a big deal. So it, you know, there's certain individuals that are, you know, assigned to be a distraction for you. You are aware of that. They're assigned to slow you down, to throw things in your way that are going to cause hiccups and failure. When you recognize that, then you just, you know, you jump over the hurdle. You jump over it with ease because you recognize, oh, this is just sent, huh? This is just sent to slow me down, to distract me, to push me along this other way. But baby, I got my eyes set on you. I got my mind set on you. I brought it to the 80s, and some of y'all don't even know what that is, but I encourage you. That's a good song. That's a good song. But I got my mind set on the goal. As for me and my children, we're going to go somewhere. We're going to go into glory. We're going to go, into successful paths. We're going somewhere, and I don't need the help of any other person but Jesus Christ. If I've got him, if God is for me, who can be against me? There could be a massive amount of people against me, but if God is on my side, I make the majority. We make up the majority. So I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to quit focusing on the little things. I know they seem big, but they're little. And so when it comes to this woman who was knocked up by this, her ex-husband, you know, God bless him. I hope your marriage works. That's the mentality you have. I hope your marriage works. You know what? You're the father figure to my children. And I'm going to keep that line of communication open. I'm going to keep a watchful eye. Because I think it's important for even if you're separated, for the lines of communication to be open. Well, that's an impossibility. No, nothing is impossible with God. I don't care how bad the situation is. God could turn it around and make it be a peaceful situation. That's what you're striving for, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to have to live, you know, 15 years with this guy who's just causing you all kinds of problems. And it's just, oh, it's just, it's overwhelming me. No. You change your mindset. Because even if that still does happen, you have the control to... you know, control it. You have the control to control. You have the control right now to keep that peace, to keep that joy in your household. And when they see that negativity come in, they can recognize it and deal with it like accordingly. It's one thing if your ex-husband and this wife are trying to like bring you bodily harm, just get a restraining order and get the heck out of that situation. Don't let them near your children. You know, if they're smoking while there's visitation, and I'm saying like weed, if there's inebriation of any kind, bye. No, you're not taking care of my kids. You know, if they're at parties with strangers and strange people coming in, not today, Satan. We close that door quick. So you know, you're mama bear. You're papa bear. You got to like guard those kids because they're yours. They're your responsibility. But you have the control over the situation. Well, no, I don't. Well, yeah, that's because you think you've convinced yourself that you don't have that control. And you're going to be in the thick of this for the next freaking 12 years. Until you change your mind and come to the realization that nobody has the power to take my peace. Nobody has the power to take my joy. I find that in Jesus Christ. You have joy. You have peace. And it's interesting that that peace and joy that's guaranteed from you, you can't find it in outside sources. That's only by the hand of God. And so when we pray, it's this mentality. It's going to break off of you when you start praying. And you know what? Some of y'all are going to cry through this. Because they brought me so much pain and they did this to me and I thought we had a future and this and this. And so it's a healing process. That's the beautiful thing of it. When you're praying for that man, lady who sent me that message, you're going to find healing come. Where no longer you're going to look at them with like hatred and vitriol. You're going to look at them with sympathy, man. I feel bad for you guys. And it's not a Patti LaBelle feel bad. I feel bad like, what I'm talking about. I'm saying you can come to a place where you can feel like the empathy from God for these people. Man, they're lost. And I feel bad. I genuinely feel bad for them. And you know what? When you get to that point where you're like, man, they're lost. And they need help. And Father, I pray you would lead them and guide them. There's a healing to that. You actually subconsciously sign a contract that says you are no longer responsible for my happiness. You are no longer attached to my joy. Bye. When you do that, you get to the point. That's why it's a mentality. This whole thing is about, it's a mentality. So I know where you're coming from, sis, but I can see the underlying tone. It's they've got you where they want you to be. They want you to be miserable. And you're giving it to them. So if they're making your life a living hell, that's on them. That people do that. It's crazy, but people really do that. This is how to pray. You pray for their well-being. You pray for like what I said. You do something that's going to be over the top to bless them. Why? Because you don't have control over me. Because you don't got it like that. I'm unaffected by your actions. I'm unaffected by your words. Because I'm not looking to you for my promotion. I'm not looking to you for my joy, for my peace. For my prosperity. Me and my girls, we're good. We're good. God's at the helm of this ship. And he's leading the way. And I just have to follow him. And he's going to make me. Follow me and I'll make you, he said. So I'm just going to follow. I don't care who's in the boat, is what I'm saying. You can either come along for the ride and enjoy the blessing or bye. So I know for a lot of you guys, you were just thinking that like, oh, great, I've got water in my ear because I'm only hearing her from my left side. And I just want to say, my bad. I hit the wrong button. I do apologize about that. I'm getting better. He's perfecting me every day. He's perfecting me. I might look perfect, but I'm not perfect. Sorry about that. Really, really, truly sorry. Okay, so now we're going to head into praying for the enemy like when you know you're calling fire to come down on the enemy. you're causing or you're calling for your enemy's demise. When can we do that prayer? Let me know about that. Well, what you're going to find out in the Word of God is that there was a handful of people, prophets and men and women of God, that prayed those kinds of bold prayers when the enemy was set to come against God's people as a body. As a body. So when we pray these prayers, we are taking into account those individuals or the body, a group of individuals that are doing everything they can to push darkness and hold back the kingdom of God or push back the kingdom of God, that are assigned to get in the way of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the establishment of his church. When we talk about that kind of a thing, that kind of a scenario, bold prayers are necessary because the most precious thing to God is his bride. It's his church. And so when people are actively against, sound like Canadian right there, when they're against the body of Jesus Christ, when they're against the work, the mandate of the written word, then it's time to step it up in into another level, into high gear when it comes to like praying those bold prayers. And so we see David had some bold prayers when it came to his enemy, but there was actually like armies, you know, seeking to kill him on orders of Saul, the king of Israel at the time. And so when David prayed those prayers, it was because he knew his assignment was great and the call was great, and his call is directly connected to the will of God for the people of God. So he knew, he's like, God, like you anointed me. You called me to be the king of this nation, and they're trying to kill me. So I need you to come through for me. I need you to vindicate me from this enemy. And so he prayed those kinds of prayers because he's right in the smack dab will of the Lord, and his assignment directly coincided with God's purpose, God's will, God's mandate, the establishment of his kingdom, kingdom growth. So there are people set against you, whether it's governments, whether it's other bodies, you know, actual individuals, or like a group of people that don't want you to start that church, that don't want you to preach there, that don't do this. All of those, that's when you start praying them bold prayers. Because when it comes to the body of Jesus Christ, that's where you don't want to cross that threshold. You don't want to become an enemy of God. You just don't. And so when it comes to that, you got David praying, you know, in regards to that. Then you've got Paul. And you see that Paul was praying against the enemy. And why was he praying against the enemy? Because they were purposefully going after him first for preaching the gospel. And so he knew, I can't just pray like a cutesy prayer. They're stopping. They are hindering the establishment of God's kingdom. These people are going to hell. See, it carries a different weight when it's a matter of eternity, when there's kingdom related things. Then it's on like Donkey Kong. I'm a invoke the wrath of God. You know, I am going to ask God to send the fire from heaven into the enemy camp. Everything, and this is what I've been praying, especially now in the United States, where you know. I guess it doesn't have to just be in the United States, worldwide, globally, this pandemic is evil. It's wicked. It's demonically inspired. There's people at the very top, and we can't see them, that are controlling things. And what we thought was evil, we haven't even grazed. We haven't even like touched the surface as to how vile and wicked and disturbing these individuals are. And they'll go the extra mile to make it so that the Church of Jesus Christ is shut up. That's why we had all these churches be closing down on 2020. What does a church being closed have to do with a pandemic? Isn't it, in fact, like the place where you should run to? All of a sudden, people, and to this day, we have a pastor, Phil Hutchings, who's in jail currently at this time. I think he has a trial today, Thursday, October 21st. I'm not sure. But, you know, they are actively set against him to stop him from preaching. Stop him from congregating with his church. These are all anti-Bible things. Like, God has called us to keep the Sabbath holy. That's a mandate. I'm not letting anything get in the way of that mandate. Unless you arrest me. And that's how obviously Phil feels. Pastor Phil, excuse me. And he's got two beautiful, actually three. The last time I checked on two. Three children. So it's a loss, it's a hit. But you know what? Principally, he's sticking with the word, and you're going to see that man go at, you know, scale heights that have never been scaled, because it's like he has his moment. He made up his mind. I'm going to do what the word of God tells me to do. And if you're offended by that, then don't read the Bible. Well, he should have just done this and just appeased, because what good is he, you know, without, now his family is without a father. What good is he in jail? Well, ask Paul that. Ask the disciples. You know, they thought it was worth going to jail. They thought it was worth putting up the fight. They thought it was worth praying bold prayers to see to it that government doesn't infringe on, you know, the establishment of God's kingdom. That's when you pray bold prayers. So in this time, globally, you know, something's fishy. Something's happening in the secret place, in the dark places. And so how do you pray? Father, I thank you that you expose every demonic thing, every leadership in position. I don't care how great or how small. If that person has assigned themselves to shut the doors of the church, I command your judgment to fall upon them in the name of Jesus. Prayers like that. And you know, like it's important that you pray prayers like that, because it affects you. It affects your kids. Father, anybody in government who's a liar, there's going to be a lot. Anybody who's in government, who's actually behind the scenes doing things against the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ, against the freedom of the United States, Father, I pray that every bit of their lives be exposed. I pray, Father, that your wrath would come upon them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray even now that you would cause men's hearts to fear like it did back in the, you know, 1930s. People had a fear for God. Father, invoke that again on the inside of man so they know you can't mess with the Church of Jesus Christ. Give me my Mordecai experience in the name of Jesus. You know, prayers like that. So those two things, it's like, you know, people that are actively going against the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, stopping you from doing, it's a different, you don't want to get into that realm. But what if I'm having like actual damage happen to me or my children, I pray, this is how I pray for general people that have done me harm. I say, Father, I don't know that individual's heart, but if there's wickedness and evil, I pray that you bring me my vindication. I pray that you would expose that heart's intent so that people know. See, because ultimately we start getting into like a he said, she said thing, and it's about your reputation. These people are ruining it. Some of y'all might be like so frustrated because you got two individuals at church trying to ruin your reputation because really they're haters and don't want you to leave. I can't even believe that I'm saying that, but within the church, it's really pitiful, actually. And they're trying to throw shade on you like, oh, this person shouldn't be in this type of leadership. I need you to sit back. I need you to sit back and smile. Have a cup of coffee on me. And let that go. Because if you are blameless, if you've made it right with the Lord, that's enough. Nobody can hold you. And it's interesting that like people in the body of Christ, they don't even have the same standards as God when it comes to like certain things. It's like, oh yeah, but this person did this. And it's like, I thought we were all brand new. I thought we were new creatures in Christ Jesus. You know. But you know, in those circumstances, if you've made it right with the Lord and your conscience is free, you just sit back. And I just had this happen like not a long time ago. But the reality is, regardless of what has happened, if you are in a state of peace, and that wasn't the intention, that wasn't my, you know, you're guiltless. You've got the upper hand there. Like, wait a minute, that wasn't my intention. That wasn't actually what I did. You know, you don't have to say anything. Your character and the fruit in your life will speak for you. And that's what's so glorious about it. I actually had a close friend who was married. I think I mentioned this in a podcast before. And the man she was married to was so toxic. He was in ministry and very, very toxic. Was doing things behind the scenes that were an abomination. But doing it behind the scenes and then calculating different things within this my friend's life to make her seem like she was the one that was to blame for the marriage ending. So he kind of like spread rumors. She's abusive. She hits me. She did this. When in reality, he done left her high and dry. Spent, you know, maxed out the credit cards. Left her with a whole bunch of debt. And like quite literally just left her. She didn't even know it was coming. And so I remember telling her, I said, boo-boo thing. You just sit back and relax. Because at that point, you know, you got lawyers, you've got he said, she said, you've got actual individuals that didn't want to sit and hear both sides of the story. Huh? Uh-oh. You just take the story as like, oh yeah, this person, because you've only heard, there's always two sides to the story. But they dismissed her, took his side, and was like, yeah, she's crazy. Treated her badly. She had to leave the church. It was a mess. You know, there was all kinds of legal activities and she had to, you know, come to court and have to like testify of all these crazy, crazy, painful things. And I just remember sitting down and telling her, you don't have to say a word. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't got to do anything. All you got to do is sit back and relax. And the truth will prevail. The truth will absolutely prevail. And people are going to come to you and apologize because they sided with the wrong individual instead of seeing what the other side of the story was. And lo and behold, didn't that just happen? Now, it took years for that to happen, but it happened nonetheless. And now she's happily married. She's like the happiest with the most incredible man, God sent, divinely orchestrated. You know, and all she had to do was sit back. She didn't post nothing on Facebook, huh? She wasn't like, just to clarify everything, Aunt Susie said this about me, and it's not true. She's bipolar and on medicine. You know, like it's just crazy what people get into. The pettiness. But when you are blameless before the Lord, when you know these allegations are not true. Girl, a boy, sit back and sip on that cup of coffee for me and pray that prayer. Say, Father, I thank you that you are my vindicator, and every lie that has been said against me, I thank you that the truth will prevail. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, that regardless of what these people are saying, regardless of what's happening in the midst of it all, your truth will prevail. Justice shall prevail. I speak that forth even now. And then you sleep like a baby. And then you sleep like a baby. Because there might have been allegations like there has been in my life with this ministry, with my husband. This group of people has been dead set to, you know, cause division and confuse the body. Well, you pretty much said that we are satanic in quality. I mean, confusion, discord, you know, those are satanic qualities. And if you're going to tell me that we are that, then I can no longer be affiliated with you, and we need to move our separate ways. But ultimately, if that is the truth, the fruit of what we do is going to show that, right? We're going to have a lot of problems if our motive really is to set people against each other, to cause discord in the body of Jesus Christ, to be, you know, bold and outrageous just for the sake of being bold and outrageous. If that's the case, then we're going to have fruit that shows that. It's going to be, you know, lawsuits. It's going to be just fruit. It's going to be people. You just see it. Chaos. We are going to replicate what it is that we are. And so a lot of people don't even, they might even say, well, it's not, you know, it doesn't matter about motives. Motives don't really matter. It's the actions. No, the motives have a lot to do with it. Because if someone's motive is corrupt and it's evil and it's dead set against that individual, that matters. That matters. What actions they did after that. Absolutely. And the fruit is going to prove that. The fruit of their lives is going to be, it's going to replicate who they are. So if we're jealous, if we're people of chaos and discord and disunity, we're going to have that around us. We're going to replicate that. And so we don't care about what anybody says, because we know we're on assignment. We know what we produce, and it's good fruit. And so we stay there. We stay in our lane. And it's like, you can feel free to believe whatever you'd like. You can feel convinced enough to believe that. That's okay. I'm going to give that to you because that's your right. And I'm not going to convince you out of that. You made that conclusion. So you'll have to handle that. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you should be. There's certain conclusions people make about you that are not favorable to you, that are going to cause relationships to actually be broken. And people that you thought were going to be there for the rest of your life are no longer there. And you're like, what the heck? That's okay. That's going to happen. But it's up to you to let that make you bitter. If you can't stand in front of that individual that did you wrong and wish them the very best and give them a hug and a kiss and say, I bless you in the name of the Lord, they got you. They got you. The enemy's got you. Now, you think it's they, but the devil's using them to get to you. And you let them. And you let them. So from this point forward, if there's any individual where you can't wish them well, I need you to work on that. Hone in on that. Because first of all, if you're not going to be able to forgive them, God can't forgive you. So you're risking heaven. Like you know, heaven is at stake. I'm not missing heaven for nothing. I'm not missing heaven for no individual and no stupid fight. I'm going to tell you what. So take back the power. Take back the God-given right to be happy and peaceful and at rest with your life. Take it back, because nobody else. And you know what? You'll understand that you were the one that gave up that key. All you got to do is take it back, because it's yours, and it only belongs to you, and nobody else has the access to. You think you gave it away, but it's in fact still in your hand. And mentally, it did something to you, where you're like down and out all the time because you think people hate you. And no. It's always been in my hand, because I actually nobody else has access to this key. I'm talking about your mind. Nobody else has the access of stripping me of my peace. You don't got it like that. Man, it's painful. I'm not saying that it's not. You could be like a cold-hearted, you know, prick. You're not that. Because it hurts. It hurts when you have people that you loved and then all of a sudden they don't love you anymore. They don't reciprocate the kindness and the friendship that you thought was once there. That's a stinger. But if you know, God heals you and then brings you brand new people. You know, if you think for a second that God's not going to restore and renew and repair the times that have been lost, then you don't know God. Because for every one of those individuals that never had your back in the first place, God brings like three of them that are like, I'm with you. I respect that you did that. It wasn't popular at the time. But boy, am I glad that you did and you stood up for that. So God's a God of restoration. And you gotta rest in that. And it might sting. But Father, thank you for the vindication. Thank you that my name will be cleared. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that these people that are set to destroy my peace and my joy, I thank you, Father God, that they are not going to be an issue for me from this moment forward in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your vindication. There's nothing sweeter than the vindication of God. And let me tell you, when you are vindicated by God, it's glorious. Because you're going to be like, not even in my wildest dream. When talking about this lady, my friend who had that like divorce, you know, many, many years ago. What happens in that scenario was like mind blowing. It was like God vindicated her in ways that like she couldn't have even come up with a plan for vindication that good. Where it was like, dang. And all she did was, you know, go on with her bad self and live the life of faith and stick with it and faithfully serve God. And now she's the happiest she's ever freaking been. It's amazing. And so I'm telling you, it's easy. It's easy. Life is easy if you know how to play the game. Life is easy if you know how to control the thoughts that are coming in your head and understand the word of God. Clearly, so that it affects how you treat individuals, how you pray, everything. It's not detached from, it's not like this is a scenario and then this is my spiritual life. It's all connected. Connect the dots. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's listening to this podcast. And I pray that by your wonderful spirit, you would bring their vindication for every person assigned to their life to destroy their peace, to destroy their joy, to destroy the assignment. Father, I pray that you would, by your hand, bring them the promotion that they need in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the vindication of their lives. I thank you for bringing them the vindication that they need in Jesus' name. And while we wait in joy, we wait in peace, we wait in gratitude, knowing that you've got it all figured out and we don't have to figure it out for ourselves. So Father, we pray for those individuals and we ask that your favor be upon them. We ask that your goodness follow them wherever they go. We ask, Father God, that they make their lives right with you. In Jesus' name, Father, we wish them the best. Say that. I wish the best. I sting a little when it comes off your mouth. But we wish them the best. And we declare they have no power over our lives. They have no control over how we think. They have no place in our plan, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. And while we're at it, every wicked thing in high places that would cause the church to keep from growing, everything dead set against the establishment of your kingdom, Father, we pray for the eradication of those things. Every individual in the high up in Washington, D.C., that has set themselves against the freedom and liberty of this here nation, we pray, Father, that your judgment would come upon them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, everything done in the private would come into the public. And let your vengeance, Father, let your vengeance come. Let your judgment come publicly so that every eye can see what happens when someone sides against the church of Jesus Christ, when someone sides against the only true God, Jehovah. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for it. Bless you. Blessing you. I'm sending the blessings. Listen, if you're watching, take a snapshot or whatever of your phone, a photo screen capture. I don't know why I always mess up on that. And then I also want you to do me a favor and go to themightyseries.com. And we are doing a special this fall, just for the months of October and November, where you upload a picture of your babies playing in the leaves. So it's a fall photo challenge, provided you take a picture of your children playing in the leaves. And if you're at the beach, just pretend, because we're not going to hate on you just yet. It's not deep enough into winter where we hate the fact that you're in warm weather Floridians, I'm talking about. So post up the pictures of a fall thing, whether it's with a pumpkin or leaves, and upload it to the Mighty Series for your chance to win apparel. You're going to have a t-shirt to win. Now, if there's three kids in there, all three of them are going to, we ain't just going to do one kid. Okay. If you got one kid in the shot and they make it, then that kid is going to make it. If you got three kids and you want to put them on there, three kids will win the t-shirt. And it's your choice. We have a series of books, and different Bible characters, and you get a free t-shirt. If you win the challenge. So post up the pictures. You can tag me in it too. But tag the Mighty Series. The Mighty Series. And if you haven't already, connect with us, because we've got some wonderful things planned ahead for your children and even for you. So follow us there. Let me know that you are watching. I love you so much. And I look forward to recording the rest of these crazy things you guys have sent me. I love you. Mwah. Hey, before you go, real quick, I just want to ask, has there ever been a time in your life where you've committed to serving Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've confessed Him as Lord and Savior of your life? If the answer is a no, or maybe you're not sure, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Listen, there's nothing better than knowing that you're right with God. And there really is a heaven, there really is a hell. And you have to make that decision today. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to stay with the world, or are you going to faithfully serve God? And I hope you can say, I want to faithfully serve God, because listen, the signs are there. It's a crazy world we live in. So would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. He's your son. He died on the cross, but on the third day rose from the dead to forgive me of my sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am forgiven. I'm set free. I'm a child of God, in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, this is me clapping for you. You made my day. You made my day. Congratulations. Welcome to the family. I'm so proud that you made this decision. It's quite literally the greatest decision of your life. And I'm just happy that I got to pray you in this prayer and lead you in this wonderful relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you made that commitment with me today, I want you to go to revivaltoday.com. That's our ministry page. And there's a button. It says, just got saved. I want you to hit that button and let me know that you prayed this prayer with me. And we will send you a little package just to say thank you for praying this wonderful prayer. And welcome to the family. I love you. Besitos.